Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Womaniverse. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also affectionately known as Seek Wisdom. Today we have a very, very, very special guest coming on. She is known none other by the name of Diva Mama Newt and or Newt Tamu Ankh Butterfly Dreaming. Today's topic, we will be speaking about a vast array of things, but most importantly, African orgasmic alchemy healing and orgasmic living. So sit back and relax. I'm going to go ahead and play a song while we get the chat room open and allow everyone to join in, and we'll be right back.
What's your definition of it? How's it make you feel? Tell me what you say that truly makes it real. Kings and queens, philosophers have tried so hard to find. Tell me what it means to you, dear, never mind. Love is kind when the world is cold. Love stays strong when the fight gets old. Love's a shoulder to lean on. Love is you. Love's like the water when the well runs dry. Quench my thirst, keep me alive. Just need one sip, baby. Love is you. 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 Is it possible there is a kiss that's so divine? Or am I just a fool? Is it all in my mind? Is there something chemical a scientist might say? Well, love must be a drug to make me feel this way. 'Cause love's my permission to be who I am. No inhibitions 'cause you understand. Freedom to breathe, oh baby, love is you. Love's like a kiss when the sun goes down. Holds me tight when no one's around. Love's what I wanna hold on to. Love is you. Love is you. Love is you. Love is you. Love is you.
About this guest we have on today. Again, this is Goddess Seek Wisdom, your host, and today we have Newt Tamu Ankh Butterfly Dreaming. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and open up Diva Mama Newt's line. Hello, how are you?
I am beautiful and wonderful and magnificent. Thank you.
I have been waiting for a long time to have this interview with you, so thank you so much for coming on to speak with us today.
Oh, well, blessings. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been very much looking forward to this interview. Before we get too far into everything, for those who have not heard of you, could you tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about how you came to be on the path that you're on?
Well, you know, the path that I'm on, that's kind of like the easiest story. I was born this way. It's a birth defect.
Oh, wow.
Birth, affect, gift, defect, whatever you want to call it. But really, I do believe that all of us who are called to healing and who are called into service, it's an agreement we make before we come here. And, you know, I am an ordained and duly initiated Nubian Kemite priestess. However, I was a priestess. I was born a priestess long before I knew those words, long before I knew the tradition. Our traditions give us a language and some grounding to wrap our gifts around. And that's what the tradition has given to me. It's given me back my native tongue so that I can really sing my gift in the best way. And really, that's, you know, that's who I am and what I do. I call myself a bliss activist because what I'm really most concerned in doing for and with other people in healing is helping them to find that language for themselves. You know, to help you to find whatever that grammar is, whether it's an existing tradition or it's something that you need to reveal and intuit yourself directly with Creator so that you can sing your gift to your highest ability.
All right.
And orgasmic energy is central to all of that, but I'm sure we're going to get into that later.
Now, in me coming across, you know, you, I have a lot of elder diva mamas around me who help mold and shape me, so to speak. One of them is Diva Mama Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I came across you and your information. It was an interview she had done with you. And, of course, then I started conversing with a few other sisters. One of them is Goddess Networks. So shout out to Goddess Networks. I think she's in the chat room, Miss Bird, if I'm not mistaken. So just wanted to give her a shout out because she helped me a lot with the information she's been putting out on YouTube and everything. So, in coming across information pertaining to you and what you've been doing, I found out a lot. You've been doing a lot. I guess I'll start off first with orgasmic living and the Temple of Women. And from what I understand, you have a 10 Moons initiation. Would you like to speak to that and get into that a little bit?
Very definitely. This is perfect timing because you get to be the world premiere of this information, at least for folks who haven't been paying real close attention. Those who are on the inside track probably have figured this out, but some of them haven't. Next month is when we will unveil the latest incarnation of the Ten Moons initiation, and that will begin in July of 2010. So we're going to begin accepting applications beginning next month. So this is the first time I'm talking publicly about this. For 2 years now. The Ten Moons Initiation is an initiation for women, and it's an initiation in the art, the magic, and the wisdom tradition of holding feminine energy, which is something we have lost en masse across cultures, across ethnicities. This is an initiation that's not about joining a certain spiritual group. It is a pan-cultural, pan-traditional initiation. Again, it's about owning our feminine core and understanding it, which is really what we as women have been robbed of through, you know, several hundred years of violent, oppressive patriarchy. And it's about claiming that back for ourselves and for our men, because we don't serve them very well when we are not who we're supposed to be. And we don't serve ourselves very well at all when we are not owning the true essence of our power. And, for example, things, words like the word feminine in this culture has come to be synonymous with weak. flimsy, unreliable, overly emotional. Although that's, you know, when we say feminine, it's an insult to call someone feminine, to say someone's effeminate, right? Well, that's not what feminine actually means. The feminine is power. The symbolism of water is what dominates the feminine, and there is something called water power. Water is a powerful force. Ask our brothers and sisters in Louisiana about the power of water. Water is memory. It carries memory, which means it carries the lineage of all that it has come in contact with across the eons. That's part of our essence, is feminine power. And just imagine en masse women just owning that little aspect of who we are as women, that we have in our bodies, innately in our makeup, because we are wearing wombs. We have the ability to tap into the knowledge, the information, the wisdom of all that has come before us. And to act on it, to have it consciously. I'm not talking about just having it locked in your DNA. I'm talking about having it, moving it, touching it, transferring it to your daughters, to your sisters, to your men, consciously, on purpose. So that's what the 10 Moons Initiation is. It goes through 10 moons. We have a 10 moon calendar oracle, and each moon has a specific deity, and it has a specific characteristics and energies, and we move through each moon. One moon, it corresponds basically to a month, and it's an intensive immersion in reclaiming your feminine power.
Wow.
And that's how I really got to know Diva Tanya, because she came in after we did that interview, she came in and she did the 10 moons, so you can, ask her.
Oh, I've heard a lot about, what you've been doing and everything, and I think it's just wonderful. It's funny that you mentioned water and how powerful water is. Ever since I was little, I had an attraction to water. I mean, I can't explain why I'm so attracted to water, and I couldn't at first, but why I was so attracted to water, and why I felt like I was communing with Mother Nature and everything while I was in water, no matter where I was. Every vacation I've gone on, it has to be around water. I have to
water
be around
is
water.
That container. It's that basic, beautiful thing. I mean, again, it's that container, and when I say water is memory, I'm not. Sometimes people think I speak metaphorically because sometimes, I lapse into an ancient tongue or something. But this is not metaphor here. Water is memory. Look at Masaru Emoto's wonderful work in that. And he demonstrates that with those crystal formations, the pictures of the crystal formations, from just putting words on the container. The water takes the shape of that thing. It remembers what you were telling it, whether it was love or hate, or whether it was massive pollution, warfare, anger, being, and when we understand that our bodies are more than two-thirds water, all of us really need to pay attention to the power of water as opposed to thinking that water is just this kind of thing that, doesn't have any shape of its own, so how powerful can it be? It just takes the shape of what it holds. The ability to take the shape of what we hold, of what holds you, is an important thing. I mean, there's a reason that in every tradition, what do we do when you want to enter someone into the tradition? You throw water on them, right? There's a reason that they baptize people in water. There's a reason that we pour libation.
Definitely.
The power of water, the power of invoking ancestral memory all at once. the ancestors whose names you do not know. And the important thing, the names, I like the names because, you know, I'm like that. But really, for medicine, for healing purposes, it's not even about the name. I mean, just running off to the beach and running into the ocean, you're communing with all the water that ever was on this earth and all the knowledge that that water ever came in contact with and held. All the solutions that are possible. So to be a water spirit is a very powerful and beautiful thing. I'd embrace it if that's what you're feeling. They're all the elements are beautiful and powerful, but, you know, because we're talking about feminine power here, reclaiming for all of us to reappreciate, to really gain a fresh appreciation for the water element and its feminine faith is very important. It's very important because our society is too fire-driven, and it becomes we're diseased. We hamper our firepower, so we're not really powerful in the fire element, but we're so focused on it that we've burned it out, and we have, as a society, we don't really have much appreciation for water. I mean, if you just juxtapose the two phrases I just said, water power, fire power, which one do you have a clearer image for?
Water. Definitely,
you know,
water.
That's a problem. It's a problem. We can imagine firepower, and I say that, and I immediately see guns, weapons, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
I say water power, and my mind's blank.
It's like when people think of water, they think of the feminine, and then when they think about the feminine, they think not us, but in general, most people think the feminine is weak, so they look at water as being weak. But if you look
mm-hmm.
throughout nature, water is very strong.
Water is life.
It
no
is.
Water, no us. It's just that simple. No water, no us. That's it, you know. And it's so important that we claim all aspects of ourselves, that we embrace our fire in its beautiful, true form. You know, those images that I even get, because I'm part of this society, the guns, when I say firepower, I think ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a healthy exercise of the element of fire, you know. So on both counts, we need the healing. So, and long story short, the Ten Moons Initiation addresses that need specifically for women.
Now, within the Ten Moons Initiation, I had another question that ties right into that. Because within that Ten Moons Initiation, according to the previous the interview with Diva Mama, Tanya, you were talking about that sacred sisterhood and that sacred sister circle. And so my
mm-hmm.
question in regards to that is, what is the importance of sister circles and what it truly means to be a sister within that circle, like the responsibilities and the openness to and from other sisters?
Oh, that's really an excellent question because, again, it's like this really goes in hand with the water element because when we embody, we take into our bodies, and there are exercises that the women, that each initiate learns. And when we take into our bodies this element and we begin to really court a daily possession with this element, with the elemental essence of water, we do the other elements too, but we begin with water for the reasons I've already stated. The circle, the sister circle, is the outward physical embodied, like in the bodies of your sisters, representation of that water element and how it works and how it heals. See, the sisterhood circle is a multi-faced mirror of each diva who's taking part and who is a member of that sacred circle. And as you said about responsibilities, the responsibility really each diva has is to be true to herself and to be true to her reasons for being there what at that moment in time. Those reasons will shift, but it's really just about being true to herself. The sanctity of a true circle, of a truly held circle by someone who knows the medicine of the circle, and this becomes important because I know, as you know, there are lots of things that happen in this world, and I think it's by very well-meaning people, but who have not had initiation themselves. So they don't really know how to hold the space for a secure circle. And then all kinds of weird things happen in those circles, all kinds of backbiting. She said this, and she's looking at my man and this, that, and who she thinks she is, all that kind of stuff. That doesn't happen in our circles because, if I can say so at the risk of being sounding arrogant, I know what I'm doing. My divas know what they're doing. That's the difference initiation makes. The responsibility of keeping the circle pure is not on the individual initiates. And this is something that is very important to state. It's on the space holder. It's on the healer holding the space for that circle. And that is something that doesn't happen very often, and it's why we get a lot of sisters who come inquiring about 10 moons and inquiring about the Temple of Woman in general who have been burned by so-called sisterhood circles, who have gone in and had really, really ugly experiences because the circles were not held properly. And by held, I'm talking spiritually and energetically held. We don't call it an initiation to be cute. Again, I'm being literal. And it's a very important thing because in order to heal, we have to be safe. And it's a wonderful thing when you have the experience as a woman of a true circle. When you can come and step into a true circle and it's immediately felt. You know, we have circle sessions on the telephone twice a month, every new and full moon. We're having one coming up this Tuesday. And we have guests that come in all the time. And I guarantee you, you step onto that call, and this is on the phone. You step into that call, you're there. A minute tops, and immediately you feel it. You feel the presence of what we've created. And that is very important and very deliberate on our part because it's so crucial that for you to feel safe and to heal, to really go through and own your feminine power, you can't be concerned about, is this sister over here going to act right when I reveal this about myself?
Right.
So that it's so important, that responsibility, it's on me. It's on me
right.
As the healer. It's on our diva mentors as they're supporting. It's not on the individual sister. You know, I want sisters to know this. It's not your fault if you've gone into a situation with an open heart and gotten burned. It's not your fault.
That's a very important point. Very important. I have a question about, I'm looking at some of the questions or comments in the chat room.
Ooh, we've got chat room. See, I can't look at the computer and talk to people at the same time.
Look, I'm trying to do an interview, look at private messages that's
you
coming
know,
through, and look at the chat room, and look at the...
It's like, I got to focus 100% on the diva
right
in front of me.
And see, that's why I have to do my interview. I have to do the interviews and then go back and listen to it. Because, you know, as a person who hosts these shows, it is almost impossible for us to totally absorb everything while we're in the interview mode. You have to go back and
well, that's because you need some circle. See, you need some sister circle, some circle sisters or kings supporting you so that you can just be completely focused. And this is, again, this is one of these things because we don't do this. This is a perfect example. We have been sold this whole bill of goods of, you know, remember that whatever commercial it was for that, you know, I bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, that whole bit. That we can do everything because we're super women. No, that's not what women were meant to be. We weren't meant to work ourselves to death.
No, not at all.
We're meant to always have an entourage. You know, imagine for a moment here, imagine any great queen from any tradition across the world, really. any great honorable woman from her town, her village, her tribe. Now, as you're picturing that beautiful woman in all her arraignment, and you can just see that she's a queen because she's got everything on, widen your view a bit. I know she's not alone. She has entourage, doesn't she?
Definitely.
She has handmaidens, foot soldiers. She may even have Nubian gods fanning her. We do not walk, work, heal, shine, celebrate. We are not meant to be alone. Again, we're the essence of community. We're always meant to be surrounded with support. Always. So you got to get yourself some support. And I'm calling on those folks on the chat room and listening right now. Y'all listen to our sister's show here. We're here talking about recapturing and reclaiming the divine feminine power. Yeah, y'all come on and see what we're doing at Temple of Woman, and especially if y'all call me, I'm going to assign you this. Volunteer to support our sister. Volunteer to come in and support her so that she can give her full undivided attention and bring forth the real revelation that is in her heart to bring forth, and you can be a part of that. I know y'all are wanting to do it, so start writing in right now. Volunteer, throw those hands up. You know, I'm only looking with my psychic eyes, but I know you've got hands to throw up. And start doing that now. Private message about everything else you were, but private message about this too, because this is important. This is what I'm about. I'm about healing right here and right now. It's not theoretical. We got too much work to do. So we can talk about divine feminine and recapturing that and owning our feminine power and being diva and juicy, but, you know, it don't mean nothing unless we step into it. So just step up. Do it. And kings, too, if y'all listening and y'all supporting, step up and support the sister. Say how many days a month you could come on and run her switchboard. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a lot of sisters in the chat room that I'm very familiar with that we do work together on a lot of different things that we're doing. So I will say that, but, you know, more help is needed. So
let's just do this.
Definitely.
And don't you be deflecting either. Just do this. Don't listen to her saying, oh, that's so sweet. No, just do it. We just got to get a move on and get done, really and truly, because this is about being practical. It sounds really wonderful, but it doesn't mean anything unless we can't heal our lives unless we change the way we interact. Just starting with little simple things like that, like, oh, wow, right. Yeah, I really like listening, but maybe I could participate too.
All right. Now, I am going to ask you about orgasmic living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, I think, going to be one of my favorite parts of this interview. Not that I haven't enjoyed the first 30 minutes, because I have. But, wow, orgasmic living. And I want you to go ahead and give out your website for the Temple of Women before we get into orgasmic living,
okay.
And then also the website for orgasmic living, so people can go visit the website and they're you know, after the show or what have you, and you know, start looking at that information and taking advantage of the services that you offer.
Well, the Temple of Women is just that, the Temple of Woman. Woman is spelled with a womb, W-O-M-B-N. So it's the Temple of Woman, WOMBN.com, and you just go there. And you can email me, newt@templeofwoman.com, and if you would like, as a favor to our dear diva here, I should make a requirement that they do volunteer hours for you to get this. But if you would like a special invitation to our next circle call, which we'll be celebrating, the moon that we're in now is called Sacred Beauty Moon, and we will be celebrating Sacred Beauty Moon on Tuesday evening, this coming up Tuesday. So email me if you would like that again. My email and all the contact stuff is also on the website, so just remember the website. The Temple of Woman, WOMBN.com. And orgasmic living is much simpler. It's just that, orgasmicliving.com.
Okay. Could you explain what is – well, hold on. I have one more question right quick because I just saw this question. Can any woman, no matter sexual orientation, participate in the Temple of Woman Ten Moons initiation?
Thank you for that question. Every woman, as long as you have a womb, you have to have been born a woman. And I'm not saying that because I'm discriminating against intersex, transgender. We'll talk with the how I can serve you best when we get over to the orgasmic living side. But Temple of Woman, just as long as you are a biological woman, and a lot of our women have had their wombs taken from them by choice or otherwise, by choice or coercion, and some women are, you know, concerned even about that. I always remind every sister, we have seven bodies, not just one. So even if you lost that physical one, we got six other wombs we can tap into. Don't worry about it. And as far as your sexual orientation preference, if you're a woman, come forth. That doesn't change the fact that you're a woman. We welcome all ethnicities, all orientation, all tradition. This is about owning your power, the power you chose to come here with and to exercise and to shine with when you chose to come to Earth at this time in a woman's body.
All right. Let's see. Can orgasmic living be practiced with women, and how can it be with or without a partner? You know what? I'm going to hold off on that question because I want you to explain what is orgasmic living, and then I'll get back to that question.
Well, orgasmic living is just kind of like my term for what I believe we all should have. You know, orgasmic living is part of everything that we offer. Even the Temple of Woman and the Ten Moons initiation in specific, you know, when you go into the website and you read it, it's orgasmic liberation for women. Because orgasmic energy is creation energy. Orgasmic energy is how we are able to experience in physical and in spirit, in, as energy and as body, corporal energy, what it feels like to be divine again. It is the way that we can most readily and most purely recapture or reconnect with that infinite aspect of ourselves, of our highest selves that we call creator, divine, God, goddess. And it is the way all creation activity, energy, comes to fore in life on this planet, in the material realm. We cannot materialize anything without tapping into and liberating, having a liberated relationship with our orgasmic energy, and a consciously liberated relationship with our orgasmic energy. Most of us have what I would call a captive relationship with our orgasmic energy. We hold it captive. It's locked up in a closet behind a cage somewhere down the hall. And when we really need something real bad, we force ourselves to go there. But when we do, it doesn't feel good. You know, if we channel it and it kind of looks like anger or it looks like burnout. But if we were to analyze it, you know, there's a point in there where we actually recognize that, oh, I'm letting energy move. I'm letting intense emotion move through my body so I can feel it, and I'm directing it for a certain issue. We saw a lot of that just last Friday here in this country. You know, every time I see all these people running for the sales, what I see are a lot of people, you know, who have a lot of pent-up orgasmic energy that they're decided to unleash on that store for that one day. And I mean, think about it. Just think about it. They're still shopping. As you guys are shopping during the holidays, look at people's faces. Look at your own face. There's a lot of public orgasm going on. But the problem is it's unconscious. It's caged. You know, if you bring it to anybody's attention, you know, at best they would blush. At worst, they get mad at you.
You're right.
And that's, you know, that's fine and good for the people who are selling things to folks and their bottom line. But it's not fine and good for us. Because we need to create every day, not just the day after Thanksgiving. We need to create in order to bring energy into ourselves, not just to give it out to other people who are waving flags at us and saying, ooh, come here. And this is what orgasmic living really means. Orgasmic living is the kind of gateway that we offer really pure Sheti Mer healing services through. And Sheti Mer is it's a tradition of orgasmic alchemy. It's a Nubian Kemite tradition of taking that orgasmic creative energy that is divine and erotic at the same time. It is as much divine as it is erotic, and it is alive and vibrant and full of wisdom and knowledge. And Sheti Mer is a healing practice, a healing spiritual practice of incorporating that into our lives for healing, for revelation, for ascension, if you will. And that's what orgasmic living is all about. What we do through orgasmic living is offer healing experiences to awaken and embrace that energy at different levels.
Okay. Now, I guess the question that comes up next would be, how is, if there is a difference, how is orgasmic living different from Tantra?
I always like to say, well, you know, orgasmic living, again, it's based in Sheti Mer. And Sheti Mer, which I couldn't name the website that because nobody would know how to spell it. So when people are more used to speaking them to in turn, I might change it. Sheti Mer, I always like to say, is, you know, as far as I can tell, and I've done a significant amount of research on this, Sheti Mer appears to be Tantra's African great-great-great-grandmama. So that's the difference. Now, there are some differences. There are some differences in scope. One thing about Tantra is that when we say Tantra, we have to be specific. Are we talking about Western American Tantra, or are we talking about Tantra?
Well,
it's a big difference.
Since you said it that way, then what's Tantra?
You know, because, I mean, real Tantra is real Indian Tantra. And there's other Tantras. There is Taoist Tantra. There's
mm-hmm.
Tibetan Tantra. But the basis is from southern India.
Mm-hmm.
And even that basis, it's a multidisciplinary, multifaceted, multidimensional spiritual path that is quite beautiful and very. It's not just sex. See, when we get Tantra in America, we're talking about, you know, sex with incense and scarves and lots of positions. Really, that's
just,
what it is. It's like, you know,
we got
some positions.
The next question out, I was going to ask you, is this just about sex?
It's about sex in all these different positions. It's about, you know, getting men having erections for 4 hours and getting women to squirt across the room.
Ooh, okay.
It's about a lot of exterior stuff. And I'm being, you know, there are some true Tantra practitioners in America,
okay.
And they will back me up on this. I'm friends with a lot of them. They know it, just kind of what passes for Tantra. Basically, in America, is still this kind of swinging with scarves and incense, basically. But the tradition itself is a tradition of, again, of healing, of personal healing, of healing between you and your lover or lovers, of healing your community, of bringing healing and energy and greater consciousness to your community, and then achieving oneness with the greater world and universal community. So it has many, many dimensions. When the true practice has many, many dimensions. And like any true spiritual practice, it's not about outward signs. It's not about, oh, it's not Tantra if she didn't squirt across the room.
Right.
It's about the inner relationship with divine that stepping into this orgasmic presence gives you. Now, in those things, Shatimer and Tantra are exactly right. The differences arise, again, it's about container and language. A lot of even what traditional Indian Tantra has come down to us as, it began with the women, and what happened was men sought these women who basically worshipped in their own way in the woods, naked a lot of times. They were outcasts, and this is many centuries ago. And men would come and find them and genuinely take their studies. And as is the case throughout the world, I find, it's the men who write the stuff down. As women, we don't really bother with writing stuff down all that much. We just don't. We sing our songs, we make our babies, we make love, we plant the field, we gather the stuff. You know, you want to find the women's traditions, eat it. Eat the food, really. It's in the recipes. That's where, you know, our traditions are. It's in the dance. It's in the recipes. It's in how we wear our clothing. It's, you know, it's in how we arrange our homes and our families. In general, over time, over the eons of time, we haven't written stuff down. So this is the difference. Indian Tantra, for the most part, what we know of it today, has come through a kind of patriarchal lens because it was written down by men and then taken over by ruler men who reinterpreted it. That should sound familiar to us Westerners because it's the same thing that happened in Europe with the Bible. You know, so that's the difference. Shatimer has not gone through that rewriting process, so it's a little more balanced in terms of the masculine, feminine interpretation. There's more room in it for an amorphous feminine presentation. And that's also the African nature of it, you know. African spiritual tradition is very fluid, very fluid.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, we have lots more questions. I definitely have a lot more questions, and I'm pretty sure everyone in the chat room has more questions. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go on a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Just breathe. Just breathe.
Just breathe.
Just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe.
Microphone controller. I was in the womb with this. Now I'm seconds older. You busy comparing me like I need comparison. How you gonna fuck with this? Can't live in the air I'm in. People, can you hear me now? No feel it, gotcha. I am just a messenger bringing you something very fertile. Up in your future, the epitome of womanhood, just the one that suits ya.
To the stage with the doom doom, motivated by the light, sight, and the dynamite. Pray about it all the time, so it's coming naturally. Got a couple math teachers say I reach the half of me, so I've been working on it happily. Cause there's a mission and a plan to this position.
Hoping and praying, wishing.
Take a long walk, sip some lemonade. Take your clothes off.
Taking a breather.
Thank you for that. That was good.
Right there. All right. All right, let's go ahead with the question that caused me to have to go on a break before I brought this question out.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I had to take a break on this one because we're about to get into some real interesting information. So I hope everyone can read into this information and not just take the words for face value, but understand what this question is and everything. So the question is in reference to sacred prostitution. Could you explain what your view of sacred prostitution and why they were significant? And I'm pretty sure you have a different word to use or expression to use in reference to that. But could you explain that and why that role was important?
Well, it was and is and ever shall be for the reasons, you know, the definition I gave that I have, it's been my experience and observation and studying and practicing orgasmic alchemy all these years and doing so professionally for nearly 20 years now that it is nothing less than communing with purely and not just face-to-face but body-to-body meshed together, intertwined with having intercourse with divine. Not all of us have the kinds of lives or life paths and purpose that allow us to really delve into the depths of that relationship for all it has to offer. But that doesn't mean every person on the planet can't have a taste of that and taste and benefit from the personal, family, and communal healing that would come from dipping into those waters for themselves. So that's where the healer comes forth. And that's the word that I would use and that I do use. Even though I'm in a film that's called Magdalene Unveiled, The Ancient and Modern Sacred Prostitute, I did not title the film. And because the word prostitute, I don't know where it came from. I haven't found a correspondent word. And it's one of those things that's kind of strange because, again, I have to use the language of my own tradition because I feel that that's the most pure. So, you know, I really looked for a word for it, and it's very interesting. Even with Chetimer, you're not going to go on the temple walls and find Chetimer because they didn't need a separate tradition. They didn't need a separate practice because their orgasmic alchemy relationship was interwoven into everything they did. Everything in our ancient Nubian Kemite high culture, the orgasmic relationship is interwoven into everything. I'm talking everything, the science, the medicine, the geography, the geology, the architecture. It's interwoven into every aspect of living. We on this side, having lost so many things, we have to, in order to reclaim it, we've had to take this thing and focus on it separately in order to even get back a semblance of that. So this is what a healer who specializes in that would do. Again, the word prostitute, I won't just get into that, but call it whatever you want. If you want, you know, again, call me a sacred prostitute if that's what you need to do to wrap your head around it. For me, it's about offering for any healer and any kind of healing that I do, any kind of healing that I participate in with someone, it's about offering a space for that person to see into what they need and get it without limit. Without limit. So that to me is what it means that, again, we've become so kind of crazy in our society that we've had to segment out healing. You know, I mean, you go and get a massage, and they got to, like, drape you 9 ways to Sunday over
right.
your genitals just in case. And what kind of sense does that make? I'm going to touch you and touch you good. I mean, I went to school for this. I know all the spots. I am going to make you feel like the best, creamiest chocolate jello pudding ever was, right? And yet, the moment, especially if you're a man on the table, the moment you get aroused, I'm going to have to leave the room. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. How are you going to expect to touch someone and then you're supposed to lay there on the table and pretend like you're not aroused by the touch? I don't know about you, but somebody touches my neck right and my thighs get wet.
Uh-huh. I can testify to that one.
You know, and I lied. I do know about you because it's basic. It's basic physiology. We're in bodies. This is how we work. Again, we're orgasmic sexual beings from preconception forward. Our orgasmic nature is part of our divine nature. It happens before we even grow bodies. So to deny it in any capacity, so, you know, to say we've just come up with this term, sacred prostitute, to mean, you know, the psychic who will actually acknowledge your erection and maybe talk to you about it.
You know, I have a little saying of mine that, you know, I'm just so very bright and so awesome, so I come up with these these sayings that help explain things to myself and to others. If the creator could have chose any form of creating life, and yet they chose sex, yet the creator chose sex to produce life and to produce bliss and to produce orgasmic alchemy, so to speak, why do some of us treat it as though it's something that's supposed to be hidden, something that is supposed to be nasty, so to speak? I don't get that.
Well, you know what, again, you know, just as I said with the sisters who've been in circles, it's the same situation where they haven't been treated right. It's not our fault. It's not your fault if you hide and you feel the need to hide, you know. We've been trained, and we've been trained for a very specific reason. It's about control. Again, if this orgasmic connection is the connection to the infinite, infinite knowledge, infinite power, you know, there are certain forces, groups, ideologies in existence with us today and have been for a few years, a few hundred years, that really are threatened by the idea of groups of people. And I'm, you know, of all different kinds of ethnicity. This is, you know, not even specific to certain ethnicities. There are certain entities that really are very afraid of the idea of folks en masse owning that kind of power.
Indeed.
And the way you take that power away from them is you make them ashamed of their connection to the infinite. And then you sell them on a way of connecting to the infinite that is so far removed that they don't even recognize or feel in their body that connection anymore. There's a word we call that. It's called religion.
True.
And that's why. I mean, you know, there's no reason, we don't have to wonder, oh, why are we so messed up around sex? You know, that's like our enslaved African ancestors, you know, walking in shackles and wondering, why can't I step more than a half a foot of time? You know why. You wear a shackle. You know, they wouldn't ask that question. They know why. They wear shackles. The idea that what you do is not ask the question. You find something to get the shackles off your feet. And that's what we need to do with sexuality. Find a way to take off the shackles. You know, let's not waste any more time thinking about why we shackled. We're shackled. Let's just deal with that. let's see if we can get out of them. Now, there are some people who think the shackles are fashion accessories, and we should just leave them alone. But I don't think those people are listening to your show.
Yeah, accessories are nice, but not those ones. Those have got to come off. Now, I have a question about what about women who have never had or have a problem having an orgasm?
Oh, that's what's so wonderful about what is so immediately available when we open up. Because the thing that, you know, those other entities don't want us to know is that the shackles never were locked. they didn't have the ability to lock the shackles. They had the ability to convince us to hold our legs like we were shackled, but actually they're not there. The connection is so powerful and so immediate that literally, in a few moments, we can get that sister or that king reconnected. You know, it's become popular to, you know, look at women and go, oh, you know, there are all these women who've never had orgasms. In my practice, in my personal healing practice, it's been my observation that most men and women in this culture are pre-orgasmic. We know how to moan. We know how to feel. And the kings know how to squirt. They know how to ejaculate. But to actually stay in their bodies and feel that connection and have a true in the body and in the spirit orgasm and experience that union and live with that and walk with that, to have that in their sexual union and outside of it, most men and women have not had that. And it's almost better for the women who have recognized that, ooh, you know, there's something missing. Because they're closer to actually finding it than their brother kings who are in the same boat but don't know it. You know, they're just looking for more athletic ways to bone, not realizing why they're never satisfied, you know. So it's an easy thing, though. It's easy. This is not rocket science. This is not doing something that is outside of your nature. This is really as easy as breathing. It really is. It's as easy as and really letting yourself breathe completely and practicing that within yourself. The first thing for every woman and man is to get to this place of openness and trust. For those of us that have not had that experience and who are orgasmically challenged, which is not even true, but, you know, people say that. They will come to me and they'll say, you know what, I can't have an orgasm. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably having them all the time, but you can only, what I hear when someone says that to me, I honestly hear this, and I say it back to them. It's not that you can't have an orgasm, but you can't stay in your consciousness when you do. See, they're afraid of it. They're afraid of the intense emotion because of whatever conditioning that they've had. We become afraid of the intensity of the emotion. So we check out. We either stop. You know, women will typically literally dry up, close their legs. Dry up, close their legs, and run squirming out of the bed.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah. And it's not something they can control. I mean, they will literally dry up instantly. Fear is that powerful. And for the men, they will go limp immediately, mid-stroke. And that's about fear. It's not about physiology. That's about fear. So it's about creating a place of trust and openness with the core of yourself, with the core of all those desires that you are afraid to admit that you even have. It's about having a safe space to really explore and talk out loud about them freely, to feel them in your body freely. You know, and then, again, this is where the healer can step in and provide that because, again, we live in a society that, you know, there's not the men's hut or the women's hut to go to and have that commonly. So this is where healers would step in and help to provide that.
I'm going to give a call-in number just in case anyone has questions, which I'm sure they do. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. And if you have a question, please press 1 on your keypad so that I will see your hand raised on the switchboard. Otherwise, I'm going to assume that you're listening and that you do not have a question. So, again, that number is 646-716-7675. Now, I have two questions before I want to get to the callers. The first question is, can orgasmic living be practiced with a woman, and how can it be practiced with or without a partner?
Oh, well, you know, without a partner, with a partner, without a partner, this thing about getting into yourself and knowing yourself first is important. So even when I'm working with partnered lovers, the first part of our work, you know, I separate them. And I even ask them not to be intimate for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work, but I ask. You know, because just even, you know, to pretend like they're going to have, that they're going to give themselves that time to really get to know themselves, because for the most part, most of us have not, most of our experience of our sexuality stops being something that we own for ourselves, you know, after elementary school. You know, we don't think of sexuality as sexuality even before that. We think we our definition of sexuality really goes hand in hand with how many partners you've had. You know, we even say that. Have you been, are you sexually active? Which is, you know, the most ludicrous term in the world. We're sexually active, again, before we take bodies, we're sexually active. We have, you know, thanks to those high-resolution ultrasounds, we can see babies are masturbating in the womb. It's their favorite thing to do. And anybody who's ever had a child knows it doesn't stop when they come out. You know,
uh-huh.
Girl, boy, doesn't matter. You know, twins will masturbate each other in the womb. We are sexually active from the get-go, but we don't own it until it's an experience that we have with another person. And there's a tremendous amount of disassociation that comes with that, where our definition of sexuality isn't about ourselves. It's about, did he or she like me? Does he or she want me? How did he or she respond to me? That, you know, that has to be broken down. So that part of Sheti Meir practice, that part of orgasmic alchemy is always solo focused. And we can definitely continue to practice as singles orgasmic alchemy. We can definitely, right now, we just began this past month, a teleseminar series called Orgasmic Relationships. And it's for singles too. You don't have to be in a relationship to own these, because here's the secret. All of the keys to being in an orgasmic relationship apply to your relationship to everything and everyone in your life. They apply to your relationship with your finances. They apply to your relationship with nature. They apply to your relationship with your children. So, you know, owning those keys and doing those practices, it's not just about having a love partner. The love partnership is an excellent mirror and an excellent practice ground to reveal all these things. But it doesn't, you know, you're not locked out if you don't have a partner right now. You can still get your bliss on, you know.
Okay, the next question is, how do you feel, or what is your view of lesbianism?
Again, we're sexual from the beginning, and if sexuality is that connection with the infinite, if it is, you know, the Christians say made in his image, right? Well, if
his
we're
image.
Made in the image of divine, that means there can be no limits, can there? There can be no limits to the expression. And I've not seen any. And I, you know, people have gotten a little angry with me before, depending on, you know, where they're leaning.
Right.
In my work, I have seen that all of us go through, sexuality isn't like this thing that, you know, we like to say in America particularly, that you're gay or you're straight, and, you know, even the politically correct people say you're born this way or that way. I've not noticed that. I've noticed that it's a continuum. It's more water-like. That people have different tendencies at different times of their lives, and we explore and we go back. There's a dominance. There's certainly a dominance, and some people dominate on one end of the scale. But exclusivity again, this is a divine expression. Having a kind of exclusive dogmatic view of it does not suit the essence of the energy. Sexuality, in essence, is creative. It's divinely creative. That means it has to be able to include any possibility.
Right. Let me check the switchboard to see if we have any questions. Caller from 111 area code or either a Skype caller, could you state your name and let us know if you have a question?
Greetings.
Greetings.
What's up?
My name is Queen Goddess Eurokas, and at the moment I'm just savoring the flavor. If I have a question, I will put my my hand up.
All right. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for the favor.
Again, I'm pretty sure you have questions. It's a lot of people. We've got a lot of people in this chat room, and y'all are not quiet. Y'all need to go ahead and call in while we have while we have Newt on the line. Y'all are not quiet. 646-716-7675. I don't know why they get quiet and why they making me ask all these
questions. I don't know. Maybe I should just get out my singing bowl and start chanting. If I stop speaking English, maybe they'll start asking.
That's all right. We're going to have fun anyway. All right. Now, could you speak about the female balance of the masculine and feminine energies? Because some people don't understand that this body, this case, this shell that we're in, it's just that, a shell. And our essence of the divine is enclosed within this shell. And we both, no matter what sexual orientation you manifested in, we both share masculine and feminine energies. So can you speak about that and the balancing of those energies?
Well, again, you know, the reason that we're, a lot of us are imbalanced, because we don't even know what either one is. Our definitions are whacked. I mean, seriously, we think masculinity is, you know, crashing beer cans on your head and going, roo, roo, roo. Driving over big trucks and, you know, acting like a fool. We think femininity at its extreme expression is, you know, wearing, you know, having Z-cup implants.
And speaking like this.
And, you know, just some weird stuff, you know, and it, being able to do all that stuff, wear a suit and swing up down on a pole at the same time. Our definitions are whacked. So, of course, we're out of balance. You know, those of us who are not in the extremes, which nobody is, those two extremes are caricatures. Even the people who have their bodies altered to look like that are not those people. That's not their reality. We're all in the middle in this beautiful range, this rainbow of masculine, feminine soups, and we don't know what to do with them. You know, there's no prescription for, okay, well, the exact balance of masculine feminine energy looks like this. That would be, you know, that would be just crazy, because we're not all the same. The exact balance, again, because we're dealing with living energy. I can't express this enough. Orgasmic energy is living, divine, creative force expressed through your body and taking material form in your life. It's not static. So there are times when, especially, you know, women, this is, it's, you can do it by our moon cycles, you can pretty much predict it. When I'm ovulating, I've got some serious testosterone spikes going on. But it's like layered, it's wrapped up in a blanket of really beautiful estrogen-like womb-born energy. So what that looks like is, you know, the sexual desire aspect is hot. I am just on fire in everything that I do, though. So I try to write new things when I'm ovulating. When I try to develop new courses and do stuff, I try to do that, make sure I'm doing that while I'm ovulating. And then, you know, later on in my cycle, just after my moon, I'm all water. I just, you know, need to relax and just lay back and remember, you know, kind of like, what was that Star Trek character who was the shapeshifter and he just needed to go liquid every now and then? You know, so that's more, my feminine is completely taken over in that case. It's not, I'm just, you know, I'm just going, I'm out there, I'm stretching, I'm moving, I'm just exploring the outer reaches of my reality, of my essence. You know, that balance is going to be different if we are quote unquote in balance. That means we are free to swing. We are free, like a pendulum, to swing to meet the needs of our lives, of our energy, of our bodies, all seven of them. It's the most important thing is the liberation. Again, because this is divine in essence, it's perfect. You know, our sexuality is perfect, however it expresses. And our sexuality expresses itself in everything that we do. Everything that we do, whether we like it or not, it's there. It's there right now. You know, even those people who are denying it, it's there. It's in everything they do. I can show you. It's there. So the perfection of it is something that we need to acknowledge. Because if we just acknowledge and we practice opening the flow of liberating ourselves consciously to the flow, the balance will take its own shape. And it's really not about trying to create the balance, trying to make it, but putting ourselves in a position to reveal it, to have it be revealed through and in us, so that we are free to be that way, free to allow. If I wasn't free and acknowledging and giving space to my feminine core, I would probably fight those days after my moon cycle. I would probably not wipe out 5 days every month off my schedule and call it vacation for just that purpose. I would probably try to work through that at the same pace that I do when I'm ovulating. But because I have cultivated this awareness, and everybody can, it's me, I'm not so different or special, because I've cultivated this awareness, I know to give space to myself. I know that, ooh, yeah, you know, let's hold off on that creative thing until this part on the calendar. I don't tell everybody why, but I just do it. That's the difference. That's what being in balance is like. It's about making room for the natural process to take place. It's not about trying to force it and go, okay, well, I want to have this, you know, I'm being too feminine here. I need to have as much masculine. No, there are going to be days you're going to be 99% feminine. And there are other days, no matter what kind of body you're in, you're going to be 99% masculine. And that's, once we acknowledge that for ourselves, it becomes much easier to allow our counterparts to express in the same way. You know, this is where a lot of relationship issues come up because, you know, folks start showing their colors, the variation in their colors, and people think, whoa, what's going on? They're changing on me. And they're not changing. They're just revealing their truth. And if you're comfortable with it in yourself, you can be comfortable with it in your reflection. You can actually support it, and you two can come together and reveal something very new. Again, it's freedom, true liberation, is about really being free. It's not about, you know, acting and putting on, replacing the oppressor's controls with your own set of controls, which, you know, when I put it like that, nobody wants to cop to it, but there are a lot of folks who are doing exactly that, who are, you know, have got a lot of rules and things about, okay, well, you know, you're not a woman if you don't do this, you're not a man if you don't do this.
I'm so happy.
Your manhood actually means.
I was just making a comment. I'm so tired of these boxes. It seems as though we've allowed other people to draw labels and boxes and just stuck ourselves in these boxes that tells us if you say, you know, you got to be this or you got to be that, what if I don't want to be any of that? I just want to be me.
And you can't know who you are until you give up, you know, the habit of boxes. Because the problem with being boxed in is that we begin to think that that's the way reality is shaped.
Exactly.
So, again, we trying to be pure and, you know, liberated, we come up with new boxes.
Exactly. Yeah,
have
that's
though,
the thing I've noticed. We have,
instead of something else that says, "Oh no, keep your legs closed," we've got other boxes that say, "You're not sexually liberated unless you're, you know, sexing everybody that comes." There are groups like this that where they say, you know, if you say no at all, then you're frigid. Well, that's crap.
All right, we have some people on the switchboard with their hands up, so we're going to go ahead and see about, area code 478. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Hey, everybody. This is Bird. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hi, Bird.
Hey, first, I got two questions, but I'm not like more of a sugarcoatery type person, so how raw can we get in this conversation?
This is a show for women, and it has been marked as mature
adults
should be able to handle anything. So
you
go ahead, sis.
Okay.
Oh, break it down.
Okay.
Feel free to answer the question in any way, shape, or form you want. You do not have to hold your tongue. So.
Okay, Sister Nude, I wanted you to expound a little bit more on the difference between the orgasmic living and the tantra, because when I hear of orgasmic living, you know, my mind is like you living in this zone of orgasmic bliss all day. And some of us, and I'm pretty sure you already know this, if we live in that zone all day, we would be creaming all day in our panties and everything. We'd have to take us a break during lunchtime, go in the bathroom, you know, get off, do all this other stuff, because some of our orgasms are very, very, very intense. So how do you recommend that we ride that wave all day? Or do you recommend that we, you know, get into our orgasmic zone before we go to work or when we start the day or when we're, you know, at home? Because I'm just thinking, you know, I'm seeing a lot of smiles on these women's faces all day long, and ain't no telling really what they're doing in the car at lunch break and all this other stuff.
I'm telling you.
But I'm thinking, how do you ride that? Because that orgasmic, people, you know, some women squirt and stuff, their panties be wet. I mean, how do you live this orgasmic bliss? Because it will take you into the la-la land.
It's a real good question, Sister Barry. Now, you know, I'm going to answer it as raw as you ask it, because you asked for raw, and I'm really got to be real with you, because the situation you painted, the answer is in your question. You really don't need to be on no job if you got it like that. You really
well, that's
need to
true.
Be directing yourself. You need to be in a life where it's free enough that you can be like me, and you can practice a physical orgasm that takes you there five times a day, every day. You need a life that supports, because here's the deal. Again, I'm a priestess, so I get to say this. I'm ordained. This is a divine communication that you have going on here. I mean, Christians got all happy because somebody had a bush burn in front of them. This is way more powerful than that. This is the original burning bush, sister. You don't need
right.
to cut that off with a 9-to-5.
Right.
Oh, it's answer. You don't need to be cutting that off with a 9-to-5. It's time to like really start tapping into that energy so that you can focus it and build what you have for yourself, because you are not experiencing that level of communication knocking at your gates for no reason. It's not just there to make you say, oh, you know, it's there to change this world, your life, your family, and this world. This is a divine consignment, my sister.
Show Liz, and
it's a
wonderful one. It's a wonderful one. Now let me ask you the other question, because you've answered.
To tell you how to cut it off. You know,
yeah, but see, that's what those women are going to do.
Sit on a towel. I don't know.
I like that's what she just said. Sit on a towel.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're going to have to do, or get some type of panty liners or something, but. You know, because some women
cut it off. No matter what you do, do not close your legs. Do
not
cut it off.
That one.
Yeah, because some women take those things, and I know y'all already know about this, but some women take those little vibrators, and they sit on them and they use them. You know, in the cubicles at work and stuff. So these women are already practicing.
I do not recommend that, because here's the thing. There's a problem with that. A lot of those things are not properly. Your sexual toys, you got to really look at them. If they're sold as a novelty, that means they have not been made to proper standards. And there are women who are getting injured from little cheap-ass rabbits. So so I got to take seriously. The burning, literally getting burns on the clips. Now you don't want to. You don't want to.
Oh wow!
Oh hell no!
This is the thing. Because we're crazy in this world and we don't appreciate sexuality, we've allowed a whole industry to come up that sells things that are actually designed to be used on our most intimate, most sacred body parts with no FDA, no nothing. So there's all kinds of toxic chemicals and paints and stuff like that. And, okay, so aside from that, that's thing one. Thing two, that the electromagnetic stimulation, not good. not good. I want you to do it with your own breath. I want you to do it with your own consciousness. I want you to absolutely know that you control this flow with a thought, because you do. Now, I'm not against toys. I'm not against toys. I love the, my favorite one is the magic wand. Ooh, I love
it. Oh, I don't know what that is. I got to look that up.
It's pure glass. You know, call me. Email me. I'll send you the links. I'll have to put it up on. It is in our Temple of Woman circle online. There are links to getting the magic wand there. And that's for free. Everybody can go on that community and get that and take part in the community, ask questions. You can ask me questions, ask the other divas questions. It's not motorized at all. It's designed for you to, and believe me, it's better than any motorized toy. Because the motor is not going to, again, we talked about flow before. The motor just goes like that Energizer Bunny all the time. What the hell is that? Nobody, that's not a stroke. That's not a communication. That, you know, so that, I wouldn't call that an orgasm. Those women are burning out the clits climaxing over and over and over again. So I've got to make a distinction, just like I made a distinction between ejaculation and orgasm. There's a distinction between a feminine climax and an orgasm. You know, just because you screamed don't mean you came.
Okay, and that leads me to my last and final question. And thank you, Black Womaniverse. This leads me to my last final question. You hit on it a little bit earlier about the difference between women living this orgasmic, you know, bliss with being single or with a partner. What is the difference, if there is any, and do you recommend either or? Do you just recommend women to just get in the flow regardless of what they're in?
It's imperative that women and men, but especially women, because of what we said about us being the containers. See, for the men to really come into their kingship, we got to be correct.
I agree.
We got to own it. So it's whatever situation you're in. Don't worry about it. If you're single, in a matter of, and again, just go ask the divas, ask my initiates in the temple. You will get the men that you want. You will be able to pick and choose. All of them have gone through that and they've gotten that. Then they've gone back and gone celibate again, and they get to choose. It's the idea that you choose. It's not about, I'm single. Get in your power. Get in your power, no matter where you're at. Whether you're in a relationship, whether you're between relationships, whatever it is, get in your power. And if the difference is, if you're in a relationship, you have the opportunity to experience things in that added dimension, because now you have this mirror that you can really see back and forth the dance of the masculine feminine that plays in between you. But that's not to say our single sisters, there are ways to have that mirror too, because our relationships with, you know, the love relationship that we will have with a king is not the only love relationships we have going on in our lives. We do a lot of work with the elements. We do a lot of work out there in nature, you know, that you can, the best orgasmic training that, and training or, you know, practice that I can recommend is that really and truly that you go to the ocean and that you go to the forest and you spend some time naked at both those places, breathing and feeling your body, exploring self-love through touch and breath, and, you know, that you find some places where you can be in nature and you can really feel those natural, the earth speaking back to you in those two ways. And I say the forest and I say the ocean because those are two extremes of masculine and feminine. And you will get that back. And when you can relate in that way to the earth, please, You think you can't just choose your man the way you're supposed to? That's the way we got it all so backwards. This is the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to, if you're single and you don't want to be, you just go out and choose who you want. He will be also grateful.
You spoke as well, and I'm getting ready to get off the phone to let some other people have. You spoke, because I just thought about this when you were just saying this. You spoke earlier. You said some women abstain. I'm guessing you're talking about when they go into your initiation or not. What were you meaning about abstaining? They were abstaining sexually from pleasuring with men or just pleasuring themselves? What were you speaking about then?
We never abstain from pleasuring ourselves. I'm literal. When I say orgasmic liberation, I really do mean that. I dare you not to come into one of our circles, just period, whether we're talking about it openly or not. I just dare you to come in and not come. Some do choose to abstain from relationship. From being in relation, being in love relationship and exploring physically in that way. Again, I dare you to be on this path and not be orgasmic. There is an initiation that I offer called orgasmic celibacy. There is a way to practice celibacy in a conscious, where you have an exclusive love making communion with divine. And it's intense, it's beautiful, and not everybody's qualified for it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all, many blessings. Many blessings.
Thank you.
All right. I see.
That
again, our call-in number is 646-716-7675. We have about 30 minutes remaining. There is another caller with their hand up, so we will go to that line. Area code 301, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Peace and blessings, sisters. Shaw bless.
Hey, Shaw.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Beautiful.
Good. How are you?
Good.
Calling from the Maryland area. I had a question. I had tuned in earlier, then I had left, and I came back, and I missed, like, a great deal of the show. So the question I'm going to ask, I don't know if you covered it already. So, you know, forgive me if I ask any questions twice.
repetition is good.
Yeah, because someone might have missed it. My question is this: did you talk about how orgasms relate to the Kundalini energy? How you can use an orgasm to raise the vibration of the Kundalini energy through your chakras, and using it with the intent and the thought to manifest whatever it is that you want to bring forth. While you're having an orgasm?
We didn't speak about that specifically. We did mention about using the energy, using your relationship, your self-cultivated orgasmic relationship to not just be a relationship with your lover, your physical lover, but also your financial, your family, your children, your earth. The environment where you're at, where we're all at. We didn't speak about the specific mechanics, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go into that a little more. Is there something specific you wanted to know about?
Well, yeah, I mean, just the technique, because a lot of people, we talk about Kundalini energy, and then I'm hearing, you know, we're talking about sexuality, but they're like one and the same. Especially with, in my opinion, with the woman, like she is the Kundalini energy. So when she is experiencing her orgasm, at the same time, she could be tapping into that, raising it up from the base to her higher chakras to have more of a spiritual enlightening experience just as opposed to a physical one.
Well, here's the thing, and that's the important part, is that spiritual versus just the physical. If the energy, if that energy wave that in the East they call Kundalini, if that's engaged at all, it is impossible for the experience to be just physical, which means you're correct that every time we engage in sexuality, and again, we're sexually active all the time.
Right.
It never stops. It's not like, you know, oh, I'm talking on this radio show right now, so I'm not being sexual. It don't stop. It is my divine life force. It's all of our divine life force. It's always activated. So it's true. Our sexuality, our sexual experience can never be just physical. The problem comes when a lot of us are out here engaging sexually. We've been trained to address our sexuality, not from the creation force that I call orgasm, but as an excretory act. So most of us are walking into the Kundalini banquet and literally flushing it down the toilet. And it's such a beautiful thing that it flashes when it goes down the toilet. So we all go, oh! And we think we're doing something. You know? And that's, you know, for most people in the West, unfortunately, their experience of sex is excretory.
Hmm.
It's not creation.
So right.
It doesn't move up the channels. It doesn't move up the Adi Tu or the chakras. It does not open up. In fact, it closes doors. It stresses. It wears them down. It drives them out. The muscle goes limp.
Mm-hmm.
The desire wanes. Because, you know, just like any toilet, you flush it too much, that thing don't work no more. And that's really the difference when we're practicing a conscious orgasmic alchemy practice. And that could be classical tantra. It could be Shatimer. It could be just you not giving a name to it, just opening up to, I want to know what's going on when I feel good. When I'm turned on, what does it mean? What does that actually mean? What am I turning on when I say I'm turned on? And where does it turn on? And where does this on button live in my body? And is there an off button? And if so, where's that at? And how does that manifest? And how does that occur in my mind and in my body? And what happens in my spirit? What other voices and other aspects am I aware of? What sense bring this up to my mind? What movements of my body facilitate or shut this down? This is, you know, it's about having a deep conscious awareness, or I should say a profound, you know, not deep as in hidden, but just a complete conscious awareness, a relationship with what's actually going on with this manifested communion, this creative communion that's happening in the body. And when that consciousness is there, that allows us, that's the first step to allow us to stop having excretory sexual experiences and having truly creative sexual experience. And I have to make, it's a long way to say it, but I have to say that because there are people who are still having excretory sex and trying to say affirmations and make stuff happen in it.
Okay.
And that's a bad news. That's a bad recipe.
So how would you help them to tap more into that energy?
Again, first they have to stop. They have to kill their addiction to excretory sex, and it is an addiction. It is, but it's easy to kill because, you know, all you have to have is really 5 seconds of actually creative sexuality, of tapping into the creative energy of sexuality. You never want to turn back. You never, you know, a friend of mine calls that other stuff monkey sex, and his phrase is, you know, you'll never want to have monkey sex again. And it's true, because once it's like, oh, whoa, wait a minute, this is actually easier, and it feels so much better. What was I doing before? What did I do before? So it's the first step is really just kind of, this is what your body is actually meant to do, and getting them clued into that. And there's a series of practices that, you know, there's a range of practices that people can try: orgasmic breath, womb centering, vulvic breathing, eye gazing. There's a very conscious mode of touch, of self-touch and partner touch that we teach. A lot of this we're teaching in this orgasmic relationship series that we're doing. It's going on over the next 6 months. But it's really just cultivating that kind of awareness. The first step, really, that's the second step. The first step is realizing that there's a possibility that you may have been having excretory sex. That instead of, you know, making love, you've been, you know, energetically going to the toilet on one another.
Alrighty.
Well, that revelation in and of itself will change things.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for answering the question for me. And I'll continue listening from the chat room and let someone else come on the line and ask some more questions for you.
Beautiful.
All right, sisters. Well, thank you once again, and y'all have a blessed day.
Okay, area code 912, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Head, pepper, respect, everybody. This is 7 Unique Elements calling out of Savannah, Georgia.
How are you, sister?
Good. I'm fine. I'm blessed. Thank you for having everybody. Thank you for this forum. I have a question. Do you all have menstrual blood sister circles? Personally, I haven't had any ritualistic sex with my own menstrual blood yet, and I've always noticed since I started my cycle when I was like 13, for some reason, men were so attracted to me all the time. Hetep, Sister Bird, and Diva Mom, and everybody. Do you all, is that something that you all practice, any menstrual blood sister circles?
A specific menstrual blood sister circle is, that's a wonderful idea. In the in the Temple of Woman, both in the initiation and through the healer circle, which goes on all year round, all the time, we focus on moon cycle, and we focus on your moon blood. And
okay.
It's a constant conversation that goes on.
Yes.
We haven't, it would be wonderful. You should come in and help us start one. Because I know there's a lot of, it's interesting. It comes up all the time because that's one of the areas, unfortunately, women have been convinced to shame themselves around.
Yeah, I remember, just earlier this year, I really started coming across information about how important that was because, I mean, I was raised, you know, ignorant Christianity and, you know, that's nasty and filthy. And especially I went through the Hebrew Israelite school of thought. I mean, hell, sisters were sitting separated and all types of stuff like that. And when I got tired of all that, you know, patriarchy and all that mess anyway, because I was never really a conformist, you know, but I still had that sheeple syndrome. So now that I'm out of that, and I remember just a few months ago I started hearing about this, and at first I was like, what? And I said, nope, I ain't gonna reject it, and I ain't gonna shut it down. I'm just going to be open. And after that, you know, literally, you know, now my menstrual cycle is just totally different now, you know. And I talk to her, you know,
Yes.
And
oh,
I do, you know, rituals at home with her, you know, actually do that. And I talk to her. I have an 11-year-old daughter. She hasn't started yet. And she's supposed to be coming down here to live with me. So I'm hoping I get her down here before she starts. And I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I teach them, you know, about the womb, you know, this is where you come from and this is what happens. And, you know, when we look outside and it's dark and you see the stars, and I tell them that's a womb there. That's a uterus there. All those stars, planets, those are babies. Those are the children. You know, this is how we got here before. I tell my 4-year-old, baby, before you came here, you made that tree right there. You know, before you decided to come here and be my sugar mama. That's our womb up there. You know, those are our children. And this is what happens when it's time for another baby to be born, you know. And I have this giant book called Galaxy of the Universe where they show the nebula, you know, it's giving birth to the stars. And I tell them, that's the same thing that goes on in the uterus. You know, and I tell them, when it's time for you, you know, biologically, you know, when it's time for you to grow up and one day maybe be a mommy, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how, you know, now you have life ready there.
You know what you can do with the young ones? And even I have the, because with the moon time thing, a lot of sisters, you know, they come into it, we come into all of this, just like the 10 Moons Initiation is designed for adult women so that we can lead.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times some of the sisters who are coming in, you know, they're just right at the end of their moon time. And I always want to stress that these rituals, we can begin to participate in them from the moment a little girl can hold a cup. You know,
okay.
And we can continue to the end of life. just because, you know, you may have your moon blood chalice that you offer to the earth or to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But she can make some red zinger tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Or she can, you know, she can have something that she puts some red water in, she make, and they can make that, and it could be this wonderful thing that they actually can participate. It doesn't have to be something that any of us, any of the sisterhood, is excluded from, no matter what our age. So that's something that
that's
I really want to put
out. I'm going to start that I'm going to start when I go and do my thing. At, you know, I'm not going to do it like when they're sleeping or something, because I usually do my thing when they're sleeping, because I mean they're really little. So it's, you know, they're.
I've got a
4-year-old
son,
pretty good about being still for a minute, But yeah, my 3-year-old not so much. So yes, that's a very good idea, Goddess. I'm going to give them their cups, and when I, you know, leave out the house, and I'll say, okay, well, let me show you all, you know, what mommy does, and this is what you all going to practice and do, you know, because, I mean, I already got them meditating and stuff, so
it's so
they enjoy,
it just becomes
you know, when I show them things.
And they will get the energy. See, this is the important thing. They will get the energy of it. And I, as I said, I bring my boy into it, too. There's a place
God
for
needs
them
to know
too.
Now.
There's a place for them to know that, oh, my goodness, this feminine is sacred. And this thing that these
That's
women
right.
do, it's not nasty. It's,
right, exactly.
it's sacred. It feeds
it's
the
holy.
Earth.
It's holy.
Mm-hmm. You know?
That's right.
So I don't let the boys hold the chalice. That's a different thing, because that's not his job. But I will have him come and clear a piece of the earth where we're going to make the offering.
Okay.
And that is
that's the masculine energy.
They part the earth,
vital.
Don't they?
Yes. It's vital to him having respect, you know, for Goddess, and respect for you that you're sharing this ritual with him. And he will have a different outlook upon women, upon sisters. You know, if he
this
gets older, he will
important
understand
work.
How important, yes, it is.
This is
yes,
important
is.
Work because it's about
so
reclaiming
much.
And fixing something.
I know, that's
and
right.
Even though it's about reclaiming and correcting an error we made many moons ago. Because all, you know, that thing that in Yoruba they call blood ashe, but all blood sacrifice, all of that comes from us not handling our moon blood magic properly. It comes from women folk being oppressive with it. Because before that time, in ancient times, before that in all different cultures, whenever anybody wanted to do something new, you know, I want to plant a different kind of crop this year. I want to ask about marrying this person. They waited till the circle of women went into their collective moon time, and that was when decisions could be made. That was when rituals could be made. And somewhere along the line, the women got their heads a little big about it, and they started being mean about what they was allowing people to do. And then the men folk felt all excluded, and finally, at some point, a certain
category they was like, look,
men
we got this
said,
now.
You
we
know
got
what,
this.
I'm going to go get me a goat and cut them, and I'll get some blood. I ain't going to wait for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we have now is the
but
result
those
of that.
But not respect, you know, the feminine nature decided.
So
well,
it's,
you know, well,
it's
we
so
got
important.
This.
It's so important that we bring the whole community back. As we reclaim it, that we don't be exclusive. Entirely exclusive about it. Now, there's a part of it that can be all yours, and that it's your own alone time with the magic of your own flow. But it's so important that we invite our young and old kings and our young and old and elder sisters into these reclaim rituals so that everyone has a stake in it and everybody has a direct experience of this communion of uniting this one woman's flow with the Earth Mother's universal flow.
Right.
It's so
transmutation is so vital in this stage, you know.
So, you didn't talk me into it. I don't know. We may have a moon blood circle. by the time I get off this phone. Temple Divas, y'all listening?
Yes, well, thank the great mother and her children. We are present in the wake.
All right. Did you have any other questions, Seven Unique?
No, that's it. Thank you so much for your attention and for your love.
All right. Thank you. Peace and blessings, sister.
Bless you. Thank you.
All right. Okay. We have quite a few people on the line with questions.
And we have
Diva Taurasi, you are a magic water diva, because I had no idea we were going to be on this long, and you just seduced me into it. But I'm in it now. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm surprised. I'm feeling all good.
We have
that's how you work it.
All right, I think we have two more callers that have questions. The first caller, you're coming up as a Skype caller or a private number?
Oh, I think it's me.
Okay. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Rhea from Connecticut.
All right. Did you have a question or a comment for Diva Mama Nukes?
Yeah. What's love making with the divine?
What is love making with the divine? Oh, my goodness. See, now I'm going to sound all cryptic because the immediate thing that comes to my tongue is, what isn't? But you know, to make the distinction, conscious love making with the divine is holding in your body the same degree of attention in your physical form as you have in your spirit-mental connection with your felt presence of the Creator. So it's being able to hold it in your body as adeptly and as consciously and as completely as you are able to purely visualizing in a meditative kind of prayer state. So much of what we've been taught in meditation is about leaving the body.
Right.
There's some value to that.
Mm-hmm.
However, for us to move forward as fully liberated beings to enact what we need to enact for the evolution of humanity, we need to know how to walk with this, to walk with that communion. We need to know how to meditate with our feet moving and our eyes open. So that's what I mean when I say making love with the divine, having a constant embodied relationship. Because if you can imagine, and you're asking the question, so I know you can more than imagine it, that where that presence of divine that will come over you when you have the spirit on you in prayer, can you imagine just briefly holding that in your body? And there is no other word besides orgasmic to even begin to express what that could be.
Right. And then you said that some people have to be qualified for it, so everyone can't do that?
Well, I was speaking specifically about the orgasmic celibacy.
Right. Oh, okay.
Initiation that we offer. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is ready for that particular practice.
Oh, yeah.
It's an intense relationship. It's, you know, the sister before, you know, spoke about, and we laughed about, you know, being an orgasm at work and all of that. But it really, you know, an orgasmic celibacy practice would either require someone taking a couple months vacation off work if they had that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, really it's a dedication to the kind of relationship we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete dedication to that. And
not
everybody's life is prepared, or their spirit and psyche is prepared for that. Because, I mean, you know, when you deal direct with Source, you must be prepared for everything to change.
Right.
Everything to change.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have one more caller with their hand up, and this is area code 513. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Ava, and I'm calling from Cincinnati.
Peace and blessings, Sister Ava. How are you?
Greetings. I'm doing fine. Okay, me and my girlfriend, we've been studying maybe about 5 or 6 years on a little bit of everything and anything, since we have came to be acquainted together. And we have been trying to figure out this one little thing that's been going on with me. One of them is that sometimes if I get very, very angry, or I call it vexed, I will appear to have burn marks on my face. They don't burn me, they don't hurt, and they don't leave a scar. But I really return red, and I will have a mark appear. And the other one is that before I had my daughter, she's getting ready to be 2, December the 1st, I was visited a couple of times by a male presence. It always seemed to come in the form of my boyfriend at the time, but it was always just weird because it would be when he would be at work. But it would come in, and it would look like it might have been him, but I'm kind of half asleep or half woke. It was sexual, nothing frightening. That's why I'm like, it could have been an incubus, but it wasn't frightening. It wasn't painful. It was quite pleasurable, enjoyable. It wasn't fearful or a foul stench of any type of factor. It was none of the above. It was actually quite the opposite. And shortly afterwards, I did become pregnant, and I did give birth to a daughter.
I see. Beautiful. First, to relieve any concern that you have about the visitation, pure divinity. Don't worry about it. It took the shape of your boyfriend because that was how it could get, that's how it got you to let it in.
Exactly. That's what I figured.
I was like, I got to take a familiar shape, or she's not going to open up.
Right. Right. You know what? I never saw the face. Never saw the face, but it would just be the clothing, his hand, but never saw the face or anything like that. And I used to ask him, did you come in and lay down on my legs and tell me everything was going to be all right, that you had me? And he was like, no, it wasn't me. You know, but I know for a fact.
You've been blessed, my sister.
Right.
You've been blessed. Some of us are gifted with a divine husband, and that energy. And I won't name it because it's for you to ask and receive that name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then that's the part that I'm at now. My girlfriend told me to call in.
It's for you to ask and receive that name. That husband is with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is, at first the door of the sexual union is such because of everything that we've talked about today. But that support, it's just what you were told. Everything's going to be all right. It's I've got you. And I want you to begin relying on that as your own personal archangel of I will do everything and make a way for you. The answer to every prayer is it is done.
Right.
And not
right.
only do you have that answer, but you have a divine husband who is willing to touch you in a physical way so that you know it is done. So ask.
Yes.
Begin to speak in verse. That has not left you. That's with you eternally. It was with you longer before that, but there was this opening right there. There was something about that relationship you had with that king that lets you open in a way to that creative force that we were talking about earlier that you had not opened to before. And that let you have an open relationship now. Now you can have this open creative relationship with that aspect of divinity.
Right,
relationship.
Yeah, because
And don't
I've
worry
always
about the things on your face. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, they come. When I get vexed,
get vexed, because you're a fire demon.
And
you got a lot of fire energy to you, and you're not expressing it. What you need to do, don't let yourself get vexed. And you know what you do. You feel it coming on, and you try to suppress it. You try to be nice. You try to be polite. And you go, no, I ain't going to be like that. What you need to do is get serious with your ritual about it. You make a space. You find a space in nature where you can go, and you can scream, you can burn, and you can throw things. Because your fire needs to be expressed. When you've given the gift of spot fire, you need to spit it.
Okay.
And you need to make room in your life for spitting fire. Because if you don't spit your fire, it burns the water. You know what happens to a pot of water when the fire is too high?
And I am an Aquarius. I am an Aquarius. So I truly do. I do understand that.
Yeah, you have to actually spit the fire that comes through you. And as you do, it's going to be a miraculous thing. I guarantee you, the first time you do this, the first time you just go out in the backyard or wherever and just well. Just do what you got to do. And you do it at the first inkling of something that feels mm-hmm. like, oh, my gosh, I just pushed that down. You stop, you excuse yourself, look crazy, it doesn't matter. Just excuse yourself, you go, and you do what you got to do. You are going to become a calmer, softer, more patient individual. I swear, your
right.
facial features are going to soften.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will find that those marks won't come up no more. It's a signal to you to do exactly what I'm telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important.
So I need to embrace
it's a, it's
my
a blessing
inner
that is showing up on your face and not in your heart or something. So it
only happens not when I get, not like just everyday angry, like if I see somebody do something stupid or a stupid act or hear somebody say something. I mean, this is one of those vexes and stuff like that where you really vex my soul. Like if I don't watch it, I could go there, you know, because it's one of those,
know,
you know,
see,
like
you build
really
up to
did something to my soul.
You don't just get there. Sister, you don't just get there. You build up. It's predictable.
But that's
I bet we could clock your cycle. That we could clock your cycle and point on a calendar the buildup. Just like, you know, you can count a volcano. This one's about due to blow. That's why I want you to do the practice the moment. Mm-hmm. When any little thing that comes up and you go, damn, I ain't going to even talk to that. No, that's your signal to get up and go. And you will be amazed how much fire you have to spit. And it's just a little bitty thing. You didn't even know you was pissed off about it.
Right. It has something. So now, is there anything that I can look online for? Should I just ask in a prayer, ask in a spiritual bath for the name to be spoken to me? Because when you were saying it, then that's where I'm at now, because a lot of dreams, a lot of tarot readings is telling me to get back into my ancestors. It's telling me to deal with Legba and go to the crossroads and roads and talk to him. So that's where I'm at now. I'm at that stage now where I'm ready to ask and be, you know, and receive from the other side of what my ancestors. Not to mention, I just lost my mother and my father and my grandmother, and they were all from the South. My mother, my father, people mm-hmm. from Louisiana.
Beautiful. I celebrate your ancestors. I celebrate all of the forces you have on the other side who are standing with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a ritual priestess. I love ritual, and I want you to hear what I'm saying from that perspective. You don't need to ritualize this. This is a living relationship.
Okay.
When I say it's a divine husband, if it was your physical mm-hmm. husband, you wouldn't make a ritual. You'd just go talk to him, wouldn't you?
Right.
So roll
I might set the mood, but
yeah. Just roll over
yeah.
and ask him. You might put on clean underwear first, but roll over and ask. Brother, what's your name?
Right.
Really and truly, we've been taught to put so many levels between us and divine that we assume the right tone and we do. And I can speak. I could tell you. You know. Just chant that 69 times and then ask. You don't need to do that.
Right.
This is your boo.
Right.
This is your divine boo. Ask him. Brother, I'm ready to know your name. And don't be surprised if he tells you, I'm whatever you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be surprised whatever he tells you. You don't have to
ritualize. Right.
If you want to have the bath and the tub, go ahead, give yourself. But do it because you're giving it to yourself, not because that needs to, because we can distance
because
ourselves
of the part
to ritual.
Be
He's with you
okay.
now. He's here now in this conversation.
I hate to interject, but I want to let everyone know that we have just a few seconds left in the live stream. So I just want to remind everybody to mark the show a favorite. Visit Diva Mama Newt's websites, and I've put them in the chat room numerous times, but I want her to give her websites out before we end the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And everyone,
and I definitely
want
be checking them out.
If you want to know about the Orgasmic Relationships series that's happening, and the next one's coming up on the 11th, you can just send me an email, send a blank email to blissnow at orgasmicliving.com, and you can get a very special deal to go in there. Contact me at orgasmicliving.com, or for the specific feminine teachings and trainings we were talking about, the Temple of Woman. Woman is spelled WOMBN.com.
All right.
And like, remember I said earlier, y'all email me at any one of those addresses and ask me. You got to ask me personally. You got to step up and ask me personally if you want to be a guest in our next Diva Circle call, which is this coming Tuesday.
All right. Well, this has definitely been a very joyful, blissful, and orgasmically wonderful show.
Mm-hmm. It has been. I mean, you seduced me, girl. Girl.
Well, thank you for coming on. Like I said, I have been waiting for a while to, you know, get you onto the show, not necessarily because of any of your scheduling conflicts, because of mine. So, but I've been meaning to get you on the show for a while, and it's proven to be well worth my wait. Well worth
awesome.
My wait. So we would definitely have to have you come back soon, and I would definitely be trying to get on that call Tuesday, so I will be sending you an email, and I would love to be able to participate with the 10 Moons. So I'm hoping everyone, you know, checks the website out, sends her the emails, and there you have it. Anything else you would like to say before we leave?
I'll just thank you to everyone who has shown up and participated and helped make this the energy possible for these kind of communications and conversations to go on. I really appreciate everyone who has come and shown up, because everyone listening and everybody talking is part of this. What we need in the world is people taking back their light and shining it for, you know, what humanity needs to take the next step. And I'm so appreciative of all of you, you know, having the interest and taking the action to move forward on that.
All right. Again, Hetepu, and thank you for coming on the show today. Blessings.